That was the short version. I spared you. But now I can lengthen my homily. Since I didn't tell the whole story, I could preach for weeks on that story. I could go on and on and on with this story. This woman, the Samaritan woman who faces Jesus, she knew her Samaritan theology. Jesus didn't know the theology she knew. This is a community. This is Jonanine community that has produced this gospel and produced this story. And woman, it looks like, when you read this gospel, are very prominent in his community. They were equal in his community. There was no authority and hierarchy and all the rest of it. It was egalitarian. And so was the early church till later years. We got to where we are today. But anyhow, this is a wonderful story, and it leads people to think, if you go through this line by line and verse by verse or this story, some people believe it was written by the gospel was written by a woman. I don't know if that's true, but I have questions in my mind. But women, again, certainly play a prominent role in this community of John. But what I want to talk about today, and then, you know, the from a male perspective, the five husbands, I didn't go into that part of the story, you know, where you have five husbands, yeah, but none of them are yours right now, yeah, you know. Those aren't, you can't take the story literally, and they weren't five of her husbands. They were symbolic, which is the whole story is symbolic. She's a literary figure, maybe not even a true figure, but a literary figure made up. But the thing is, they were whoring, they whored after other kings and other gods. And that's what that whole part of that story is about. But again, it would take a while to explain that. My topic is water of life. The topic today is the streams of living water. Water flows within us. I think I'm wrong, but is it 80 or 90% of us is water? 70? 77. Well, okay, so I was close. 77% of us is water. What about the earth? Isn't the earth like 80% water? I think. But anyways, water flows through us. Water is the symbol of divine life. That's what water is a symbol of, divine life. In our deepest essence of who we are is a divine being. That's who we are. Let's get that in our heads. I'm going to pound it into you before I leave here. You're going to understand that that's who you are. That we have to remember who we are. That you're a divine being, that you're a spiritual being, living in this physical body for a while, and then you're going to move on. But the deepest essence of us is a divine being. We came from God, we'll turn to God. And we're here to let God flow through us. That's the only purpose you're here for, is let that God flow through you. And to experience joy. But most of us don't, because we're putting up barriers to that love and to that God, and we're pretty good at it, and that's what Lent is all about. Get rid of those barriers and those walls and everything else that we, that negativity that is there in us. At Jacob's well, Jesus likewise spoke about this water. He says, but those who drink of the water of this well will have to thirst again. But he says, but those who drink of the water that I will give them, they will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. We humans have an existential thirst. We try to quench this thirst of ours at many sources by running after many things. We're looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Who's that star? Sang that song. Campbell? Johnny Williams? Who? Do you know all the answers? Johnny Lee. I haven't even heard Johnny Lee, but anyways, I heard the words before. I've been running after on all the wrong places. I don't know about you. We usually do until we're about 30, I think. Then we wise up, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we never do. But here, Jesus' statement matches the statements that are made by the Buddha, and by all the great avatars, all the great scriptures in the world, so long as we thirst only after physical sustenance, only if we keep thirsting after pleasures and the superficial things of this life, then we will continue to suffer. Suffering is inevitable. And you'll never quench that thirst. Although we give in to this instinctual need, it will keep us making itself felt periodically, and we can wear out our own lives going after all these new wells until we notice that in truth, we don't want to quench our body's thirst, but rather a much deeper longing that we have for the water of life. This longing that is in us for eternal life. This is put into us by God. Dostoevsky thinks that the mystery of the cycle consists in the fact that a person, after drinking earthly water, gets thirsty again, and he asks, "And what now?" And thus he writes in his book about bread, he says, "Transforming stones into bread, they say, is that really the greatest? Is it really the greatest?" "Not the greatest," answers his interlocutor. "Great, yes, great, but second class. Once a person has eaten his fill, he won't think any more about it. On the contrary," he says, "so now I have eaten my fill, and what should I do now? The question remains eternally open." You see, all of our yearning for happiness is latent desperation. We can find rest and security only in our divine core. True thirst can't be quenched from water from earthly source. Try it. I'm sure you have. It can't be. I have. Even scotch doesn't do it. And I drink a lot of scotch. I guess I'm going to have to until I die. The danger of offering people merely earthly water, even in religion, is very great. Because even in religion, we can get caught up in all kinds of formal matters. Oh, do you believe rightly? Or do you believe in the right doctrines, the dogmas, the creeds, or whatever it goes on? In all those formal matters, we get locked up into those things, and we can forget that only the spiritual path is what leads us to the real, that leads to God. No authentic guru or Zen master would accept a disciple who wanted no more for himself than to be fit or to relax or to experience peace. No Zen master would take such a student, a disciple. There are a lot of people in the world we know today that are very religious but not spiritual, and a lot of people that are spiritual but they're not religious. The water of life is the life of God that we all bear in us. It is the divine principle that is our true nature, and it isn't far from us. Only when we find this water of life will everything else make sense. The joys and the experiences of this world. You see, both belong together. God and things belong together. Once you separate those two, you're in trouble. Huh? The Creator and creation together. Not one without the other. But we will be happy with things that God has given to us. And God gave us all these things for us to enjoy, to have pleasure with in our life. It's not wrong to enjoy the pleasures of life. and the goodness of life. But God gave these things, and we will be happy with these things only if God reveals God's self to us through them. Today's gospel reminds us of the living water that we yearn for. Let us make a resolution during this Lenten period. Let's stop drinking from the wrong wells. And let's start asking ourselves, is the Lord in our midst or not? And the answer is yes, he is in our midst. Christ is among us. Then, knowing that, then our service of love, however you perform it in your daily life, imbues every hour with a rich purpose. For at the very core, at your very core, you are love. Christ answers our deepest thirst. He tells us everything we need to know, the Samaritan woman said. The more we listen to his voice, the less power the cry of the world will have over us. So take it each day to listen to his voice.